Psalm 112. Turn in your Bible over to Psalm 112. I want to read there tonight. Last Wednesday night, I started down this road, and I think we'll go a little further down this road tonight. Psalm 112. I'm going to actually read it in the New Living. I think our trusty helpers there can pull that up on the screen. If you don't have the New Living Bible, you can just follow along here on the screen. I love Psalm 112. I encourage you. That's a psalm if you're looking for something to read every day, something to encourage you, something to put up on your mirror, something that you should meditate on. Maybe put it on an index card and carry it around with you, because this is talking about you. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. Well, that's a good thing. We should be saying that. Any of you who have kids, that's a good thing to say. Our children will be successful everywhere. Are you worried tonight about your children? Are you worried? You have concern? I tell you, replace your worry, replace your concern with this. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. That's good news tonight, because there's a lot of darkness. But in the middle of darkness, light shines for the godly. So we may be in a world that's encompassed about with darkness. I'm telling you, it's dark in the world. But light shining brightly. There's light at my house. There's light in my life. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. And I told you last week, bad news is coming. That's the reality. We live on planet Earth. There's trouble. But you don't have to fear bad news. It doesn't say that they don't have bad news ever coming. It says they don't fear it. They don't fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Going back up there to verse 7. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Let's just talk about that for a moment. The reason you don't have to fear tonight, we're talking about being fearless again. We started out talking about this last week. The reason, really, the foundation, the very base of why we don't have to fear tonight is because we can trust in the Lord to care for us. And any time that you find yourself stepping over into fear, that you find yourself gripped with fear, that you're given place to fear, fearful thoughts. Does anybody know another name for fearful thoughts? Anxiety? Worry. Worry. When you have worrisome thoughts and anxiety and stress, that you know what? It's a sign that you are not confidently trusting in the Lord to care for you. But you have to develop that in your life. You don't just, you know, show up on planet Earth confidently trusting in the Lord. In fact, what the world programs you to doubt God, to doubt there even is a God. And then we have religion to thank for if there is a God, that He's out to get us, that He's out to punish us. I tell you, I saw something really sad on TV. You think it's okay for me to share what we saw the other day? The thing with Paula Deen. Yeah, it was just, I don't know if y'all have seen this. I saw it on demand the other day. Oprah now is doing these, since she doesn't have her television show anymore, she's doing these shows where she kind of does an in-depth hour-long interview and with somebody. And I saw that she was doing one with Paula Deen. And so have any of y'all seen that where Oprah went into Paula Deen's house? That was really interesting. And so she went to her house and a lot of things, and she's talking to Paula about her life. And I had forgotten it until I saw this, that Paula Deen dealt for years with agoraphobia. And agoraphobia, when people have that, I don't know the exact science meaning of what agoraphobia means. I know phobia is fear, but it's a fear of people. And it's a fear that had her so paralyzed, she didn't want to leave her house. And so Paula Deen, that we, you know, most of us know who that is, it's hard to imagine she was so afraid she wouldn't leave her house. Well, Oprah's kind of delving into that, like, where'd this fear come from and what was it? Well, then she reveals that when she was 19 years old, her father died suddenly. And she loved her father. She was a daddy's girl and was really, you know, loved her father. And he died. And she could not understand. Here's where the fear came from. She could not understand why God would let her daddy die young. Why God would take her daddy. And that had her so upset. And this is what she said. That she said for years she never told anybody this. But now, then she said it on, you know, television. But she said that she finally figured out that what it was, and this is where the real core of her fear was, that God really was going to take her. He was going to take her at 19. But God knew that her daddy couldn't bear it if he took her. And so he took her father instead. And from that, she was so paralyzed with fear that was just down to the root of the core, her core being. She believed that God was supposed to take her, but because he knew, it was like merciful, I guess, in her mind. He knew that it would destroy her dad, so he just took her dad instead. And this was like, this is what she thinks. And she's talking about it like this is actual fact, you know? And I'm thinking, here are two really influential people. Paula Deen and Oprah Winfrey, and they're discussing this like it's some kind of fact. And the whole thing is a bunch of malarkey. It's nothing but religion and made up lies about God. And it goes directly opposite of what this says. It says they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. How can you trust a God that you think it was going to take you, but mercy is he took your daddy instead? Yet no wonder people are so afraid. No wonder people are so messed up. Because really, coming out of fear and living a life of being fearless, it really starts with how you see God. It's really where it begins. How do you see God? First of all, what Pastor talked about on Sunday morning, is your God a good God? Because I'm going to tell you, so many times I hear people talking about God, and they're not talking about my God. Whoever it was Paula Deen was talking about that she was calling God, she wasn't talking about my God. She wasn't talking about the God I know. The God I know is good, and he's merciful, and he's benevolent, and he's generous, and he's always looking to do good. And he's not taking anybody or their daddy. He's not. He's for people. And it was so plain once again Sunday morning when Pastor just drew from the Bible, from John chapter 10, and said, look, if it has to do with stealing, killing, or destroying, it's not God. That's the enemy. That's what he does. And so, you know, but people, so many people, so many Christians do not understand that. The vast majority of born again people do not even understand that. There's probably people in this room that don't really understand that. You know, it's interesting to me how people can be in, you know, people will be in the church for a number of years. They'll come to service, you know, come to School for Life, come Wednesday night. But they'll get in a bind. They'll get in a pickle. They'll get in a situation. They'll get under pressure. And what you hear come out of there, what they say in a time like that really reveals. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. In other words, it'll come out eventually. And in a time like that, when when things are really tough, they'll say something and I'll be like, boy, there's right there. There's the problem. And it's okay. But you need to realize it and do something about it. I'm not condemning anybody, but it takes a long time to root that out of you. If you have thought that God was your problem, if you have ever seen God as the one who's taking and who's causing you pain and suffering and hurting you and destroying something and stealing from you, if you've ever had that religious notion that God does these things to teach you something. See, the Bible is very plain that God does teach us. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to teach us. Now, a lot of times people don't show up to learn and they don't listen to the Holy Spirit and they bumble around. And they get in predicaments. And a lot of times people in a really rough time will learn things. Any of y'all ever been through a really rough spell and you learn something? But see, what people do is they'll say, I was in this really rough spell and I learned something. So God, this is what God taught me and he brought that in my life. No, what it is you just got where you were listening He was there with the way out, but he was there to teach you before you went into the mess. He's not like, you know, any more than when I'm trying to, you know, teach my kids. I bring them in and I, you know, take their hand and I turn on, you know, my stove on high and say, okay, I'm going to teach you about the stove. And I'm going to hold their hand down there until it's crispy and burned and go, see there? Now don't touch the stove. You know, I remember when I was teaching Harry to iron. There's that word again. I was teaching Harry to iron. Is that the, I'm not going to get into that this morning, tonight. I've already went over that one time this week. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I was teaching him and I told him, I gave him all the instructions and everything about how to iron. And then guess what? About a week later, I hear a terrible sound. And Harry, and I go in, and Harry is standing at the ironing board, and he was ironing his shirt. Like this. Have you ever ironed your shirt that way? It's not smart. That is not the way I taught him. In fact, I told him, this is what I told him, don't ever iron without a shirt on, not the shirt you're wearing. He misunderstood. No, he was just saying, he was doing like we did. Well, really, what does mama know? We're kind of like that. We read the Bible and God gives explicit instructions and then we go, well, it doesn't really matter if I do this. We do that. That's what sin is, isn't it? Isn't sin going, well, what does God really know? This isn't going to hurt me. How is this going to hurt me? God just doesn't want me to have any fun. See, mama just doesn't want me to. And he doesn't call me mama. I don't even know why. Why do we call you mama, but my kids call me mom?
I'm your mama, that's why.
Okay, well, I don't know why my kids call me mom. But here anyway, he had ironed, and it wasn't even I think it was the steam from it that got him. The steam will get you, man. That's why I told him when you iron, you have to have on a shirt and that, you know, but he learned. He had this, he's probably got a little scar still there, across right there. Harry has never to this day burned himself with iron again. Now, he could say, well, mama was teaching me that, you know. No, I taught him the right way, but he learned a valuable lesson on his own. And that's how we are sometimes. We learn valuable lessons on our own. We learn what not to do because we get burned. And we could all go around here tonight and tell what we've learned because we got burned. Yeah, but God didn't do that. But thank God we learned. What would be stupid is if Harry every day was going, Now that would be a stupid Harry. And sad to say, some of us are not as smart as Harry. Some of us, we keep doing stupid things thinking it's going to turn out different. How's it going to turn out different? You still doing the same stupid thing that burned you before. How's it going to turn out different this time? I don't know. But anyway, that's not the message, but that's a good one. They do not fear bad news. Why? Because they confidently trust the Lord to care for them. And I tell you tonight, all of us, we're all at a different spot in a different place. But you, wherever you are, I hope you are growing in your trust for God, your trust towards Him, that you are trusting in Him more today than you were a year ago, more today than you were 6 months ago. And it's so personal. It's such a personal trust. I can't trust God on Matt's behalf. Matt has to trust God for himself. I can't trust God for you. You have to trust God for yourself. It's very personal, but trusting God to care for you. And I tell you that's why Christianity has to be based on a relationship. It's not just based on something. You know, I was thinking about this week, how, you know, the Bible reveals God to us, but I don't just believe in God because of the Bible. I believe in God because I know Him. You know, you could take this from me and I would never have it again, and I would still always believe in God because I know Him. He has shown Himself to me. He has proven Himself to me. Again and again and again, He's proven Himself to me. Carol, do you mind sharing what you wrote on Facebook It's just because I tell you, that's that. There it is there. Because that's just the essence of how God cares for us.
Yeah, yesterday I was driving up to Columbia and just driving down the interstate, minding my own business, listening to the radio. And just had a prompting, pretty strong prompting, to pray for my kids' safety and their protection. And prayed for them for a minute, and then just started praying for Eddie. Eddie was traveling that day as well. And then prayed for myself, and, you know, just pretty strong. And prayed Psalm 91, and, you know, just said, you know, thank God that nothing shall by any means hurt Eddie, Wesley, Lindsay, or myself. And really, that was just a minute of time, moment in time. Turned the radio back on, got back to my business, and pulled into Lexington, was going through town. There's a lot of side roads and traffic and everything. And I was probably going about 35 miles an hour. And a side road, a lady pulled out so close to the front of my car. I mean, it's like I could see her face. It was pretty supernatural, really. You know, I don't know how I didn't hit her. I know, it's just my angels. They were encamped around about me, keeping me safe and protecting me, so that nothing should by any means hurt me. And I just know that God is real, that He protected me from that. And, you know, I saw the lady's face. You know, she freaked her out and slammed on brakes and everything went flying in the car. And she passed by, but I don't know how I didn't hit her. She was just right there.
Praise God. You know, what's interesting is when, it's one thing when that happens, it's another thing when just right before that, you just are stirred up in your heart. Really, you know, faith comes and is activated. My mom went out of town several Sundays ago, and she was driving she went down to Myrtle Beach to visit with her cousin, my aunts and uncles. They were all gathering down there. And she was it was pouring down rain, and she had cruise control on. And she just suddenly had a thought, I should turn off the cruise control in this weather. And she touched the brake pretty hard. And when she did, she realized there was a tanker truck directly in front of her that she was plowing into the back of it. But she didn't see it because there were the sheets of rain and the way they were coming. And she was headed for it, and had she not hit the brake when she did, she would have just, unbeknownst to her, just plowed right into the thing, because she didn't even see it because of the rain coming and the flood. You know, I'm just telling you, God is real. And see, that's what I'm saying. It's not just because we read it in a book. He lives in us, and He speaks to us like he spoke to her. And it'll come. Carol said she had a prompting. Is that what the word you used was, a prompting? You know, whatever you want to call it, sometimes it just seems like. But for you're just riding down the road, and suddenly you hit your brakes. You know? It's God. He cares for us, and we can trust Him to care for us. And come on, guys, you can think of a lot of reasons to trust God, or a lot of things to trust Him with, but isn't the most precious thing to trust Him with life itself? Amen. You know, life itself. I mean, it's good to trust Him with your bills or with the, but life itself. You know, and so they confidently trust the Lord to care for them. And there's a lot of reasons to be afraid. But there's a greater reason to not be afraid, because God cares for you. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid in a sudden downpour. We don't have to be afraid with whatever. See, we have to develop our trust in the Lord. And you know, and for me in my life, it is just a constant conversation between me and the Lord. I'm trusting in You. And when I have worrisome thoughts or something that comes up, or, you know, you've heard me say many times, things to do with my children, things to do, just like what Carol's talking about safety, just engage your mouth in telling the Lord about your trust for Him, because you know what you're doing? You're releasing faith, and faith will drive out the fear. See, because the other way that Carol could have reacted in that moment when she started having this this thought that came to her about her kid's safety, she could have done what most Christians do. She could have started thinking all the scenarios of all the things that could be happening to her kids that day. And then she could really work herself up into a real anxiety, just real state of anxiety. But I'm telling you, this will help you when this will help you overcome anxiety in your life, because anxiety is about your thoughts and what's going on in your head. And I'm going to tell you, none of us can do anything about your anxiety. You're the only one who can do anything about your anxiety. And you know what? Your anxiety is not determined by your circumstances. It's not determined by your situation. There are people who have no reason, if we looked at their situation, no reason to be afraid, but they're fearful, they're anxious. And then there's other people you're going, my goodness, you ought to be freaking out, and they're at peace. Sometimes I think they're just too stupid. They don't recognize what's going on. But nevertheless, there are people that are at peace because they have the peace of God, because they're trusting in God. And that's really where that peace comes from, is trusting in God to care for you. And that's just really the bottom line. Tonight, we have to trust God to care for us. We have to trust God to take care of us. We have to trust God that He's got our best interest at heart, and that He is strong enough and big enough and powerful enough and good enough to take care of us. That's just that simple. I'm just going to encourage you to just continue in that. Continue growing in that, all of us. Just stretch yourself out into that. Talk to yourself about it. Talk to Him about it. And then the next scripture in verse 8 says, they are confident and fearless. I love that word, fearless. Fearless. Say, I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
We're fearless here tonight. Now, I want to get into something specific tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn over there. This is a scripture where Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a young man who was pastoring a church. And he met up with a lot of obstacles like most pastors do. And Paul's writing to him some instruction, and he said something that, it's a famous scripture now, but when he was writing it to Timothy, it wasn't a famous scripture. It was some really good advice, and it was really good revelation. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the new living of that says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, if you study that word fear, and certainly God hasn't given us any spirit of fear. But if you study that word fear, that word really is what the New Living says, the kind of fear that it is. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Now, what is timidity? Timidity is when you're afraid, but when someone is timid, it's because they are, do you know, like the other side, they are intimidated. When you are timid, it's because you are intimidated. What do you think is intimidating you? When you're being timid, what ultimately is intimidating you? The enemy, the devil. See, you can't just be timid on your own. Because, do you understand? The timidity has an opposing force. You know, there's something that's causing your timidity. It's intimidation. There's something intimidating you. When you are timid, it's because something's intimidating you. What's intimidating you? The enemy. He's intimidating you. And that, let me tell you, that is one of his weapons that he uses against you. I talk about at times, don't let the enemy bully you. And that's what I'm saying. Don't let him intimidate you. That is the enemy. He is a bully. He uses his fiery darts to intimidate you. And he's attempting to deceive you. The ultimate way the enemy operates is he wants to deceive you into thinking he's going and he's able to do all these things against you, and then it paralyzes you in fear because you're intimidated by him. But God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Now, in particular, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he's talking about the enemy being intimidating towards him, but he's also talking about Paul being timid towards other people or being timid in what God has called him to do. And see, we all deal with that all the time. And we see in the book of Acts that the people who had the greatest ministries, the people in the book of Acts who've got the best results, the people in the book of Acts who really fulfilled God's plans and purposes are people who were bold. And boldness is the opposite of timidity. In fact, if you'll go on the internet and you will look up the antonym, that's the opposite of timid, you'll find the word bold. Boldness is the opposite of timidity. Now we pray, and the pastor's been reading these scriptures about boldness, and we pray for you to be bold. I pray for you and me to be bold all the time. But I didn't really realize until I was studying this that boldness is the opposite of timidity. And timidity is caused by intimidation. So what is boldness? Boldness is when the bully's trying to intimidate you, you just stand up to the bully. That's boldness. You're just like thumbing your nose in the bully's face and saying, or whatever. Didn't spit on you, did I, Georgia? That's why I wore this tonight. Clean you up. Boldness. See, that's what we're going for, boldness. And then he tells us where boldness comes from. Because we have a spirit of power. That's God's power in us, God's power on us, and we have the right and the authority to use that power. And love. It goes back to what we just read, that he cares for me. I can trust in him. I don't have to be afraid because God loves me, because God cares for me. And the Bible says that perfect love, 1 John, cast out fear. It's the revelation of that love he has for us. As you grow in that and mature in your revelation of God's love for you, then you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to be intimidated. You can be bold. And a sound mind. That's when you think right thoughts about you instead of entertaining those fiery darts that are coming and laying hold, you know, and working yourself up into worry or anxiety or fear or dread or torment. Instead, you see things the way that they really are. That God is for me, that God is with me, that God is in me, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I don't have to be timid. I can be bold. Y'all see how this works? He's really given them some really powerful revelation if you start looking at it. And really, it's the key, really, the key here to walking out of the control of the enemy and being bold. Recognizing God hasn't given me this spirit of timidity. So let's just talk about that for a minute, because we all deal with timidity. All of us being intimidated by the enemy in whatever way, and it manifests itself in different ways for different people, you know. And there's a lot of words that we use for timidity. And one of the words that we use that some of you, because this is a much nicer word than timidity, you're okay with this. The word shy. I'm just shy. Well, you wouldn't be nearly as comfortable saying, well, I'm just afraid. But that's what it is. That doesn't mean you have to be the loudest guy in the room, because, I mean, Eric's got that covered. So you don't have to be the loudest guy in the room to not be shy. But there is something about shyness that's you're intimidated. Let's just think through the whole process here of what's going on. When you're being timid, when you're being, just think of what timid means. When you're being timid, when you're holding back, and that's what happens is that you're holding something back. You're not doing something. You're not moving when you should be moving. You're not stepping out when you should be. You're not speaking up when you have something to say. You won't accept an assignment or a job. You're being timid. You're drawing back. You're pulling back. And you know, the Bible says in several places that we're not of those who draw back. So just even the posture of the timid. This is, you know, that's it. You're drawing back when you're being timid. You see this, if you read particularly the New Testament, but you read about anybody that's done anything for God, anybody who's ever experienced the power of God in their life, they were bold. They were not timid and drawing back. This is just fundamental fundamental how to receive from God, how to live by faith stuff right here. You know, this is just in my life. I'll just tell you how this has worked with me. Whenever I find myself, and you really have to kind of get a hold of yourself and start thinking in a different way. When I find myself being timid or being holding back or drawing back, I stop and I have to ask myself, why are you doing this? Why is it that you aren't speaking up? Why is it that you're not stepping out? What is it? And the answer to that always is some form of fear. Well, I'm afraid of what they'll think. I'm afraid I'll fail. Now, let's just as we go through this. I'm afraid of what they'll think. Is that scriptural? That I should be concerned with what people think? I just am reminded what they said in the book of Acts, that we whatever with you, we have to obey God. You're afraid of what people think. You're afraid of failure. You think that's God-authored and God-ordained in your life to be afraid of failure? Can you think of any scriptures that might oppose that line of thinking? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I bet you could think of a bunch more if you just sat and thought about it. You see what I mean? This is what you have to do. You start thinking about, what is it here that I'm afraid of? And then you have to answer that with the Word. What is it? What is it? And really break it down to the core here. What is it I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of how I'm going to look. Ooh. Really? You're more concerned about how you look than you are. And so that how you... I'm telling you, that's a big one with people. No offense to anybody who's here tonight, but there were people who wanted to do cardboard testimonies who had fabulous, amazing things to share. They were too afraid to stand up on a platform and hold a piece of cardboard in the air. They wouldn't do it. Maybe that was you and you wouldn't do it. Just why would you be afraid to give God glory in front of people who love you, who are for you, who are going to cheer for you, and all you have to do is hold up a piece of cardboard? See, it makes no sense when you really start breaking it down. But I don't want to do it because, you know what? It's fear and it's timidity. And you know what? You're letting the devil just have his way with you. We weren't asking you to stand up on the highest, you know, roof and scream at the top of your lungs. There's people here who would do that, but we're not asking you to do that. I mean, it was a real simple thing. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty here. What is it we're so afraid of? If we're afraid of each other, come on. If you're afraid in here, what are you out there? Let's think about that. There's people that won't come to church at certain times because they're afraid. What are people going to think? You're going to have to face that. What are people going to think? You're going to have to deal with that in your life. If you're going to live for God and fulfill His plans, you're going to have to bust through that one. You're really going to have to practice doing this. Let's just practice this right now. You know what I'm saying here? Just, I don't really care. I don't really care. Too bad. So sad. You know, I mean, really, you're not because you don't care about people, but that's kind of has to be the attitude that you're being arrogant or whatever. You're just like, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm doing all I can do to follow God. I don't really even know what that means. If that's an offensive, vulgar thing, y'all have to tell me after service. I don't even really know. It just seemed good at the moment. I'm not good enough. See? You're not good enough. That's a thought of timidity. I'm not good enough. Well, we have thousands of scriptures to combat that, don't we? I might fail. I'm afraid they won't like me. I'm not capable. So here's what I do. Here's my method for living fearless. And that, you know, I'm growing in it, but God's really been on me about this for the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. I wonder why. This whole fearless thing. I'm thinking about this every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about being fearless. I have made up my mind. I am not going to let fear control me. I am just not. I'm not going to let fear control me. I'm just not. I am not going to be limited by fear. I have just lived my whole life watching people limited by fear, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be bold. I may look like a goofball, and I might fail, but I don't really care. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be fearless. So what I do is this is my method. I recommend it to you. I could probably find you a bunch of Bible scriptures to go with it, but we don't have time for that right now. When you find yourself feeling timid, when you find yourself pulling back, when you find yourself hesitating out of fear, you have to just do it, do it, do it. Do it anyway. And this is the point I'm at. I'm going to do it because I'm afraid. Before I was afraid, I may or may not have been going to do it. But now that I'm afraid, I have to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? If I'm not afraid, I can do it or not. But if I'm afraid, I have to do it. I got to confront the fear. I can't just put up with fear and being afraid. And I tell you, we all can come up with really good reasons that sound very good, but they're nothing but fear. We can put big words with it and make it sound all aloof and wonderful. We can use all kinds of excuses about all kinds of things, but we all know the root of it is really fear. It's really fear. And when it's fear, you're going to have to do it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? You're going to have to do it. If it's fear, you're going to have to do it. Just recently, I was asked to do something that I did not want to do. Any of y'all ever been asked to do something you didn't want to do? I didn't want to do it. And to be honest, I didn't. I had these thoughts here. I'm not capable. I'm not good enough. I'm afraid they won't like me. I had all of these. I might fail. And so I felt myself on the inside going, but I knew I had to do it because I was afraid. You're going to have to do, you're going to have to do that. That's just going to have to be your standard operating procedure. Yeah, you're going to have to do it. Just like cardboard testimonies. This is a good example. We talk about cardboard testimonies. And if your first thought is, ooh, I'm not going to do that, I couldn't do that, then you have to do it. Now, some of you, it's no problem at all. You could march up here with or without the cardboard. Well, then it's optional. But if you find yourself, you're afraid, guess what? You're going to have to do it. If it's fear, see, because the fear does not come from God. Fear is not from God. So anytime you encounter fear, that's the enemy putting up resistance. That's why you got to do it. You got to just push through fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to stand up to fear. Everybody knows what you do with a bully, the way you overcome a bully. You got to stand up to the bully. I mean, haven't you seen enough after school specials? Have you ever watched the Disney Channel, Nickelodeon? This is what, you know, 3 out of 4 shows are about. Something like this. This or, well, now they're into other stuff. But anyway, when I was a kid, every after school special was about standing up to the bully. So you got to stand up. And you got to, you know, we could just sit here all day and talk about all these cliches of what it is. But that's just the deal right there. Is that when you feel afraid, and you know what it feels like, you have to ask yourself some questions. Why is it that you can physically feel it. You ever physically feel it? It's like, you know, Harry plays the guitar, plays bass, and when Neil wasn't playing, he was playing. Thank God you're back, Neil. But he was playing guitar. This past Sunday, Harry spoke back in the Overflow Life. I guess that's the second time he's done it, this thing. He's standing up speaking. Okay. And at 02, he gets up and he talks. And I remember the Sunday when Harry had been taking lessons, bass lessons, guitar lessons. Nan, you remember this very well. He was playing with a band before service. He'd been practicing for weeks, and it was his Sunday. He was going to get up, and he was going to play. Now, I'm have to tell you, just to be really honest, to me, sitting here and just living my life, for Harry to get up and stand behind that wall and strum on a guitar is not a big, you know, in my mind, this is not a big momentous thing to do. It's like, you understand, you know, maybe some of you think, boy, to be up on the platform and do anything would be a big deal. But you understand, from my perspective, it's not at all a big deal. But to Harry, it was a really big deal. So service started. They'd been up there practicing. They'd done their part. They'd gone in the back to pray. And now it's time. Nate gets up and everybody goes up on the platform. And you look around and Harry, he's sitting in his seat. He didn't go up there because he was afraid. He'd been up there. He could play it. He could do it. But something about getting up in front of the people really terrified him. So we had to have a little talk with Harry. Harry, what are you doing? And, you know, he being a boy, he doesn't want to admit he's afraid. But that's the reality. Harry, you're afraid. See, for years, Harry was shy. He was, of all four of our kids, he's always been the shy one. He would let Grayson talk for him. You must be bad off if you're letting Grayson talk for you. You must really be afraid if you're going to let him talk for you. But anyway, but he would just let him. And so, Harry, you can't do that. You're going to have to face this. You're going to have to deal with it. And he'd go up there and he'd be just trembling. He would be so afraid. But he's not afraid anymore. But he could have, let me tell you, he could still today be sitting in the chair thinking, well, you know, I can play the bass, but I can only play it at home. I can only play it, You have to push through it. Nobody wants to stand up in front of people. Well, let me say this. Most people don't want to stand up in front of people. But you just have to push through the fear. I'm telling you, every one of us, whatever it is for you, you have to push through it. Whatever it is you're afraid of, you're going to have to face it down. I know right now you're going, no, I don't really. I don't have to. Nobody knows I'm afraid of it but me. But God knows you're afraid of it. You know you're afraid of it. How long are you going to put up with the enemy just having his way with you? Because if he has his way with you in that area, what other way is he having his way with you? What other place? Where else is he ruling you? How else is he controlling you? I'm not going to let the enemy control me. I'm not going to let him have his way. I'm going to live fearless. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of circumstances. I'm not going to be afraid of people. I'm not going to be afraid of what if I fail. I'm not going to be afraid of what if I can't do it. I'm just not going to, I'm going to live fearless. I'm going to push it. I'm going to have to push it. God's not pleased with people who draw back. I want him to be pleased with me. In fact, I'd rather he be pleased with me than you be pleased with me or anybody else. And he's with me and he's for me. And last week we talked about Peter walking on the water, and we didn't finish talking about Peter walking on the water because we just wanted to glory in the fact that he walked on the water. But he did start to fail. He did start to sink, but Jesus was there. And so I'm always remembering I can get out of the boat and walk on the water. And if it doesn't work out so well, big whoop. Big whoop. Peter's still the only one of us that walked on the water. And he didn't drown. Man, I'd rather be the guy that walked on the water and Jesus had to lift me up than the guy that sat in the boat going, well, that ain't wisdom. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be afraid. Say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm fearless. Stand up. Three off there. Hallelujah. Let's just have a little talk with Jesus for a minute. I think some of us need to repent from letting the devil bully us with intimidation. And Father, we just open ourselves up to you tonight, the Holy Spirit who lives within me. Father, we're not, everything is open and plain before you. We're not hiding from you in any way. And so we just open ourselves up to you tonight. We open ourselves to your convicting power for you to show us where we've allowed fear to control us, where we have backed off of what you've led us to do, because what will people think? What if I fail? Father, we thank you tonight that you love us and you're for us and you're with us and you're in us and you're the one we're dependent on. It's because of you that we can do anything, and it's because of you that we can do all things. And we look to you tonight, Father, to help us, to enable us. We just make the decision that we'll face fear and we'll overcome. That's what we decide tonight. But even in that, we can't do that on our own. We just look to you to help us. We look to you to strengthen us. We look to you to embolden us and empower us. Hallelujah. We just make the decision. We don't want to be bullied. We're not going to allow the enemy to intimidate us. We'll not be timid. We have power. You love us. And we have a sound mind. And because of that, we're not going to be intimidated. Hallelujah. And devil, we're just putting you on notice. You're under our feet. We're not cowering to you. We're not drawing back. We're not listening to you. We're not giving in to you. We're not going to allow you to bully us in Jesus' name. We're going for what God has for us. We're going to do what he's called us to do. We are going to be who he's made us to be. And in Jesus' name, we resist you, fear. We resist you, intimidation. In the name of Jesus, we'll not fear. Not going to be afraid. We're fearless in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.